Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara on Chaf Amud Aleph with the words of V'habasar Tame, second line, the words of Habasar Tame. It's important to note that we basically just finished the sugya of the Tumah in the knife, and now we're moving on to the Hemshech of Rabbi Chanina said. So the Basar Tame, that if the needle touches the basar, the flesh of the animal, then it's going to make that meat Tame. So the Gemara says, Hi basar diskasha b'may, but wait a second. We know, based on the Pasuk of V'chiyutan, that we've learned about many times already, that you need what's called a hechsher. You need something in order to make something that's a food become tame. It only is going to be susceptible to tuma if a liquid, one of the shiva samashkim, had come in contact with it in the situation that you wanted it. So how is it over here that you have the liquid? What exactly is going on? In general, this is what you need, and then you don't have it over here, just did the shechita. So, and then we're also going to assume that we're also dealing with the case that it was in the chatzar of the Beis HaMikdash. So then if it's in the chatzar of the Beis HaMikdash, then if it came into liquids over there, those aren't going to be susceptible to tumah, Rashi points out. So the Gemara says, in name of the iskasher bedam, but maybe it's going to be through the blood, that after the shechita, maybe the blood there would be a problem. Where do we know that blood of a kachim is not going to be susceptible to tumah? That we learned from this pasuk, we quoted this pasuk earlier. We quoted this pasuk earlier on Yilches. That we learned from here that you have to, that the pasuk says that the blood of an animal you shouldn't eat it. You should put it on the ground like water. And the Gemara has a drasha kamayim machshir, that there's a comparison between water and blood. But that which you're allowed to spill on the ground like water is going to be susceptible to tuma and create a machshir and create something, and then something, a food can become tame if it came into contact with it. However, when it comes to this case over here, something that's not spilled on the ground like water does not create susceptibility to tuma. So the blood that you're shechting from the animal is not allowed to be spilled on the ground. It has to be, you have to use a kli to be mekabel it. So this blood is obviously not comparable to water, and therefore it's not going to be able to become tame. So the Gemara says, maybe ve'ela diskacha mashkebet mibachaya. Maybe it's becoming susceptible to tuma through the liquids in the chatzar of the Beis HaMikdash, where they did the shechita and the tzafon over there. V'arim b'riyosi rechinin mashkebet mibachaya lo dain shen dachan elo shen machshirin. But now we're quoting Rabbi Yossi, who says, Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, and he tells us that they are not susceptible to tumah over there. That's what we were mentioning before. Rashi introduced this already before, that this was part of the question, that we're assuming that the area of the Beis HaMikdash is not susceptible to tumah with these liquids. So the Gemara then suggests maybe another suggestion. V'ela d'izkasher b'chibas kodesh. Maybe it can be susceptible to tumah through chibas kodesh. Chibas kodesh is like that we literally, like chabev, is to love something, that you give it great, you honor it. So how does that work over here? That we're assuming over here, when something is muktash, it has the hekdesh, it's now on a higher level, so then it's going to elevate it to a status of food. That's what we're assuming right now. It's going to elevate even a liquid to the status of food, and the Gemara is going to learn it out from Sukkim later on. But hey, right now we're not discussing that, but at the end of the point, for our purposes over here, maybe we're assuming that the animal that's shechted is also going to be elevated to the status where you're machshavit. So the Gemara says, when do we say this halacha, that we this concept that we elevate the status and give it too much susceptibility with regards to hektesh, if sule gufa, that's only when the item itself is unfit to establish that it's going to be puzzle, that's going to be unfit, and it's not going to transfer too much to something else. However, to make it a higher, meaning we're puzzle, remember always puzzle is that it doesn't, that it itself can become tame, and it can't transfer that tuma. It's unfit, but it doesn't transfer the tuma. So that's a lower level. I'll make it like a revi. Leminu be rishon v'shini nami. Where do we see anywhere that we can make it even a higher status of a sheni and a rishon? Meaning, where do you have it to such a high level? We only see that it can become a revi. We never see that it can become higher than a revi. So, at the end of the day, where do we know that? And not only that, the Gemara is continuing to ask, because that, if that was the case, then tifshut devayla v'shrakai. So, Shrakai had a question, and if you really held that the Chibad Koda can make it rishon a sheni, then he would have to have a pacha teretz, because he asked the following question, Sarit shel menachos, if you have like a pile of a mincha offering, which came into a contact with tuma, so then monim bo rishon sheni olo. Do we count it as rishon sheni or not? So it is clear that we're talking about in a situation where you have a mincha which is generally mixed with olive oil, which is a liquid that's going to make it susceptible to tumah. Rish Lakish is wondering, the mincha wasn't mixed well enough, and therefore you have like these piles that are not necessarily touched by the oil. Are they going to be susceptible to tumah or not? So then the Gemara is asking, according to Rish Lakish, that he's asking if they're susceptible to tumah, yet according to this way we're understanding it, is that if this was the case, it should be pashut, that it should be tameh. Since Reish Lakish was unable to answer based on our Mishnah, which would we have assumed based on what we're saying is that Chibas Kodesh should make it a Rishon, then for sure it should have made it puzzle, and it would for sure no be Shaila of why it should be a question. Obviously, he didn't learn it from the Mishnah, because he knew all Mishnayos Baal Peh. If he knew the Mishnah, he would have quoted this Mishnah as a Raya, so he obviously didn't learn that this is Pshat in the Mishnah. So therefore, the Gemara then comes on to a different answer. So how do we have this thing that was susceptible to Tuma, this animal over here? We're talking about a case where Dafka was a Zifchei Shlamim, a Korban Shlamim. Again, a Korban Shlamim was for the Bailim also. The Bailim ate most of the meat. It was for them. The Kohanim got a little bit, and Hashem got a little bit. That's why it's called Shlamim. Shlamim for everybody. So Vehevira Benar, and the owner walked it to the river Dafka on the way to go to the basin. And then he shechted it while it was still moist. It was still liquidy. And at that point, we're assuming that it was coming into contact with fresh water from the hides. And at that point, it's something that's going to be makshirit lekabel tuma. So Shmuel is pointing out specifically, Rashi points out that with Dafka talking about shlamim, because it was common that the owner Dafka wanted to make sure that you would walk it through the water because the hides belong to the owner. If the hides belong to the owner, he wants to make sure that it's going to be smooth enough to make it easier to skin it off, to take it off. That would be the best way of doing it. So that's why Dufa, this is something that's actually common. So Gemara says, and that in fact is going to be the answer, that we found a way that it's going to be susceptible to in the case of Rabbi Chanina. Now the Gemara continues the analysis. The Gemara says, the Rabbi Chanina also mentioned, Nimtzis beperish hakol tahor. If it's found in the excrement of the animal, including the flesh, even in the flesh, it's going to be tahor, everything's tahor. So the Gemara says, why is this sure that even a hadar perish v'nit melabasar? But wait, why can't we assume that the excrement is going to make a sheni? Let's say, again, we're assuming that the liquid had changed form a little bit, but still we're assuming that if you brought it through the river, we're assuming that the excrement was going to be liquidy enough to still consider it a mashke. And albeit probably a pretty gross mashke, we're thinking about the animal's excrement, that's not something that's but still, it's liquidy enough, that it's dense enough, that we're assuming it's a liquid, it should be able to be metame. So Gemara Yitzim, Rav Adibar, Avra B'Perish Avra, we're Dafka talking about Enachanami, we're not talking about where it was moist. Enachanami, that it went through the river, doesn't make sure that the number two is going to be very, very dense. It could be that it's going to be, moist, it's rather going to be dense. The Gemara says, Ravashi says, no, the answer we saw before, he gave this answer before, Ravashi Amar Afilu Tema B'Perish Raka B'Shudavim Mashke Saruach. You can even somewhere talk about very watery, that should be defined halachically as a liquid, but still, it's disgusting. Since it's so disgusting, it's not even called a liquid anymore, halachically, and you wouldn't have an issue, even if it was extremely liquidy. So that's how Ravashi understands it. That's the end of Rabbi Chanina. Now the Gemara is going to go back to understand the opinions of imparting Tumas. So now, Agav, this is the last daf of the Tumah Vatara Sugis, really. So, Baruch Hashem, we made it through. I'm pretty sure there are a little bit harder, in the third, fourth parak. We're going to get to fourth, fifth parak. That, of Kachim Sugis, again, we'll get back into those, but I think these are the hardest daf in the Masechta. So, Baruch Hashem, everyone made it through. And we're going to go back to the second part, which is interesting. Everything's interesting, but these are a little bit harder. Now, the Gemara continues. Tanakh Meder of Sheshes. Sheretz Metames Amashkin. A sheretz can contaminate and make impure a liquid. Mashkim matamis akli, and liquids could then make impure a utensil. Akli matamis ochlin, and the utensil could make impure foods. Va'ochlin matamis amashkin, and the foods could also make impure a liquid. We're learning three things, three different levels of a sheretz. So basically, what are the three halachas that we're learning from here? That a sheretz has the ability to be matamim mashkin, since even a kli that was matamim through a mashkin, that's explicit in the pasuk with metame. That was the kavachomer that we learned that the sheretz itself would be metame. That was the first halacha. The second halacha we're learning is that based on the pasuk, b'chol mashka sheresh said b'chol kli tama. That we're learning that you can learn from there that a kli can become tame through a liquid. The Gemara is going to apparently agree with Rabbi Yehuda's Havamina. The Gemara is going to discuss a little bit, but that's what we're going to mention over here. The Havamina, that a liquid can impart tuma to a actual kli, to utensil. The third halacha is that a kli can be metameh foods. We're learning out with the words yitma, which should be read as yitameh, that has the ability to impart impurity to something else. That was Rabbi Akiva. And the fourth thing we're learning over here is that mikola ochal asher achel asher v'lov mayim yitma, which is telling us that even yitameh, that foods can also be metameh liquids and mashkim. That is also Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara now says, hane arbas, these four levels of asheret that we're just mentioning, these things are, the price itself is telling us that there's three levels, and really that there are four levels, basically. So how is it they're telling us four different halachas, the ones that we just mentioned, and yet it's telling us three levels. So Gemara says that again, what you're talking about, the chidushim also, we're talking about the sheretz, which is metame the liquid, and then metame a kli, which is metame then a liquid, and then another mashke, that's four different levels. So Gemara answered this, goes mashkim derisha, so you delete, take out the words of a liquid in the beginning of the braces, so now you just have it as being a sheretz is going to be metame a kli, and then the kli is going to be metame ochel, and ochel is going to be metame a mashke. That's how we're going to amend the Braisa. So therefore, the Tana is then following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva that Chulin is going to be able to make a Shlishi level of Tuma, and there would be no Revi when it comes to Chulin. The Tana is agreeing with Rabbi Kiva. He could have also said it differently. Okay, we're not going to get into the Rashi points out that he could have said it differently, that the Sheretz was Metame Akli, and the Metame a Mashke, and the Mashke is Metame Ochel. Rabbi Kiva said that an Ochel is a Sheni, can make a Shlishi, and liquids are shini can make a food shlishi. Okay, we're not getting into that right now. That's what Rashi discusses. The Gemara now continues. Lo ashkechan tana. So the Gemara, that's the question. Skip the line. Adarabba. Wait a second. Goes mashkin to sefer. Why didn't delete and remove the end of the braisa, which, and then you could just have it that it'll be a sheretz with matame mashke. Mashke is going to be matame a kli, and a kli is going to be matame ochel, and say it like that. And then you'd be following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the braisa, the hafabin of Rabbi Yehuda, that a ochel can be matame, even a kli. That a liquid, rather, can also be matame kli, even midoraisa. So the Gemara says, but that was only a zavamino. Lo ashkan tani dam ashkan matame kli. El Rabbi Yehuda v'adarbe. That we only assumed that Rabbi Yehuda, we assumed that havamina. And as the original thought, we thought that would be the case. Over here, Rabbi Yehuda retracted his opinion, and we assume, therefore, that we are getting rid of it, and the mashkin is at the end of the braisa. That's what we would say over here. And so that we come out, in a chanami, that's the way we're concluding, that we're removing the reisha and not the seifa. Now the Gemara says a way to remember this is samanayach nazaisa. Nazaisa is a beer barrel. We have that the Gemara and Ksubas talk about. The beer barrel is a whole famous thing about Pesik Reisha. I'm not getting into that's what a beer barrel over here. And the way to remember, Rashi points out, because the beer, first they would set up the pot, and then they would pour the barley, and then they would fill it with water. So therefore, that the beer is reminding us that there's Dafka talking about three things. The tumah are three levels. That's what we're mentioning in Simanayach Nazaisa. Okay. Continues the Gemara, Tznan Hasan. We learn in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Kalim. The Mishnah tells us, Sheretz Nimtza B'Tanur. If you have a Sheretz that was found in an oven, a pas pesocha shnia, the bread inside is going to make the bread inside from the oven that was metameh with the Sheretz is going to be a sheni. So there's Medesha Tanur Tlila, because the actual oven becomes a Rishon. So we see that Sheretz doesn't actually make the bread a Rishon, really, it only makes it through the oven, making it a sheni as a second level removed. So now they're going to ask the question, why should that be? The Omer the Rav Ada Bar Ava L'Rava, Rav Ada Bar Ava asks Rava, V'nechze L'hai Tanur Kemandu Mitale Tumah Dami. Why don't we view the oven as it's full of Tumah, V'tavei Hai Pas Rishona, and then we should assume the bread is going to become a Rishon, that it came in contact with Tumah. We're assuming at this point the Sheretz is Matame, the whole oven of the walls and everything in the oven. If that's the case, the airspace should be all considered Tumah Sheretz, and then anything that touches that airspace, meaning the bread, when you break the bread in it, should become a Rishon. So the Gemara responds, Amar Lei, Rava responds, Lo Saka Taitach. You shouldn't assume that way, because Tisanya, Yochel Yakola Kim Matam Maverick Klei Cheres. I would have thought that all Kalim, all utensils can become Tame through the airspace of a Klei Cheres. So then, what are we going to learn from there? We're going to learn Tamalomer. I'm not learning that case. Kol Asher Besocho Yitma. The Pasuk is specifically saying anything that's inside of the Kli is going to become Tame. V'simanayach le'mikol, v'samech le'mikol ochel. And next to it, we have the Pasuk, which has any food that can be eaten, or any liquid that's allowed to be drink. Ochel matame maver klei cheres. We're teaching us that any ochel, any food can be contact Tuma through the airspace of a klei cheres, of an earthenware Kli. V'ain kol kelim matame maver klei cheres. But no other utensils are able to become Tame through the earthenware Kli, other than an earthenware Kli. So if that's the case, we would say that the actual Avir Klei Cheres, its full Tuma utensil, would be able to contact in the Avir Klei Cheres. Since it says it's Dafka the Lashon of Negia, and the airspace we're talking about over here, we're assuming that it touched the Cheres itself, but actually touched it and making it a Rishon. Therefore, we're not considering a full-fledged Tuma, but rather only something which has a Cheres touching it. And therefore, we're learning that the Kli is a Rishon, and can only make Metame, Mashkin, to be a Sheni, but not to be a Rishon. So that's what we're learning from this point that we'll come to over here. Just to point out again, other halachas Rashi points out is that we see from here, other halachas that we've come out until now, Rashi points out, that Rashi says that any food and liquids cannot be metame a kli, either midoraisa. That would be the source for it over here. And also a person who's less than an avatuma, who touched the sheretz of the vela, he also cannot be metame a kli. That what we're learning out. Also, that's based on the psukim. So therefore we're learning that the nothing less basically than an avatuma can be metame a kli. That's also learned out from these psukim. Now the Gemara finished this halacha. Now the Gemara is going to back all the way to the very beginning of this whole sugya of on Yadale. The Gemara says, Rav Chisda, Rami Pischa, Pischa. Rav Chisda had two kashas with regards to Rabbi Yeshua, Astira, and Rabbi Yeshua said with regards to Pesach. Umeshani, and then he answered the question. He asked the question the following. Mi Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua in our Mishnah seemed to say that Shruma Tluya chametz, which you're not chametz of truma, which you're not sure if it's tame, you're allowed to burn it together with the shtei rabbi shua, shtei gachas. You're allowed to burn it together with the truma that's totally tar. Is that really true? Or aminu? He quotes the braisa. I'm rabbi yosi ena anino domel raya, that the comparing tar chametz chametz rather with tame chametz is not comparable. Kshidur abusina, when the rabbanan said that the when the minhag of the Kohanim says Rabbi Yosi Amalaidu, what were they discussing? Imas Ravashin Balatuma, we're talking about Arishon and Ashlishti, Shazarfan Sabasar Shinim Babatuma, Arishon and Ashlishti. So then all you've done is increase the other piece of meat to a Shane Latuma, but it's still both Mitami Midaresa. Zetama is the Tami. They're both Tami Midaresa, going back to the Sugas Mamash Midal that we discussed. Imala Shaman Shinishal Batvil Yom, and if you're discussing a case of oil, the truma that become puzzle through a Tvil Yom, Shabadlikan also Baner Shinit of Tmei Mace, as a lot it's allowed to be lit in a lamp that had been tame through a dead body. So again, you have an avatuma with the sheni making it a rishon. So there's that possible as a tame or a shlishi even. So that also that's a shlishi, or shlishi making it a rishon. So then also that case also a shlishi is possible with a reisa. So you've only increased the tuma, but it's still on a level of the reisa. They're both possible, both completely tame. So you haven't really done anything. So how could it be af anan motive a truma shenipet v'lad a tuma? Shavu also a truma shenipet av a tuma. So we can learn that shlishi with the rishon is okay. However, aval hayach nisrof afilu taluya imat tmeya. How can you tell me that you can burn a potentially tahar? You're not sure if it's tame or tahar. This truma with a tame truma. Shemei av aliyah v'tar. Maybe aliyah is going to come and establish that these truma are actually in fact tahar, and it'll come out from over here that there is no tana that would say that this is okay. So Rabbi Yossi implying there's no tana would tell you that it's mutter to be metame a truma tluya with a truma tmeya. But the Mishnah we learn, Rabbi Yeshua does say that this is okay. Umishani and Rav Chista answers, Ha Rabbi Shimon v'alibad Rabbi Yeshua, Ha Rabbi Yossi v'alibad Rabbi Yeshua, that the teaching of the Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon according to Rabbi Yeshua, and the teaching of the Braisa that we just mentioned, Rabbi Yossi alibad Rabbi Yeshua. As that we see over here explicitly, Rabbi Shimon is going to hold that according to Rabbi Yeshua, you're allowed to burn Truma Tmeya with Truma Taluya, and Rabbi Yossi is going to hold that Rabbi Yeshua is not allowed to do so. The Gemara is going to ask, Rabbi Yossi is the one who's quoted our Mishnah. We use the Lashon of Rabbi Yossi. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi was in the Mishnah over there. Okay, the Gemara is going to ask in a few moments. But now, before that, the Gemara is going to point out, Rav Chisda is bringing a raya that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi disagree with Rabbi Yeshua holds. This Tanya we learn in the Braisa, Arbasar Shechalios Peshabbos, which Agav is this year. We haven't had it in like, I think, 15, 20 years. We haven't had it in a long time. Maybe 13 years. We haven't had it in a very long time. It's going to happen this year as well. It's a lot of very interesting dinim that some of them we'll get to in Masechet Pesachim and Mirtzei Hashem. So this is one of the, this is a din recorded over here in the Braisa. The 14th of Nisan is on Shabbos. Mavar is a Golf Nevar. So you have to get rid of everything before Shabbos. You burn everything only before Shabbos, right? You're obviously not allowed to do Havara on Shabbos. Vesorfin Shumas Tmeos, Tluyos Tohoros. You're not allowed to burn Chametz Shuma and Tamei Shuma and Tluya and Tor all together to Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir, because again over here Rabbi Meir's Chiddush is even extended beyond our Mishnah. Our Mishnah only told us when it's Erev Pesach. Here Rabbi Meir is even extending it to the day before that. The day before that on Erev Pesach, you're allowed to burn all the things together, even though you still have another day where you're allowed to eat it. Still, Rabbi Meir allows you to burn the Tamei with the Tahar. Rabbi Yossi Omer Tahora b'fnayat matliy b'fnayat. Rabbi Yossi says no, only the Tahar together and the Tluya but you can't have the Tahar with the Tluya. Tmeya b'fnayat, and even and the Tmeya also by itself, three different piles. And the Gemara fleshes it out. I'm Rabbi Shimon. Lo nechal Rabbi Lezer ve Rabbi Yoshua al Torah v'al Tmeya. No, that's not true. They only disagree with Rabbi Shimon over here. So Rabbi Shimon, he's the one who's disagreeing. He says no. Rabbi Yoshua disagrees with Tmeya and Torah v'Tmeya. That's where Rabbi Meir disagrees with Rabbi Yoshua. She ain't surfing. That they both hold that you're not allowed to burn together. Rather, sorry. That they would both hold that they would be usher to burn Truma Tmeya with Truma Tahor. Not with Rabbi Meir right now. Al Tluya v'al Torah. Everyone would agree that if you have Tluya and Torah, that it would be allowed to be burnt. So this we see is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and he's telling us over here that it would not be a problem to burn them together. What about the case of if you have a case of Tluya with Tmeya? Rabbi Elazar Omer to Sarah Fitzar. After Rabbi Elazar says you need two different piles, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Shen Ka'achas. So we see that Rabbi Yossi is holding that Truma Tluya and Truma Tmeya and Tame Truma are not allowed to be burned at all together. Rabbi Shimon is holding that according to Rabbi Yeshua they are allowed to be burned, and according to Rabbi Elazar they would not be allowed to burn. So this machlokas we're mentioning before with regards to Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is allowed to be understood as Rabbi Yeshua and the other one Aliba de Rabbi Shimon, and that would be the Mishnah, and the Braisa would be Rabbi Yeshua Aliba de Rabbi Yossi. That is what the Gemara is establishing right now. The Gemara now continues. The Gemara says Veha Masnisin Rabbi Yossi. But wait a second, how could that work though? Because the way we just established it is the Braisa is Rabbi Yossi and the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. That doesn't work. Our Mishnah says explicitly that it's Rabbi Yossi. How could it be the opinion of Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara answers, Hachi Kama Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Meir. This is what Rabbi Yossi was saying to Rabbi Meir. Afilu Rabbi Shimon v'aliba de Rabbi Yeshua. Even if you follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Yeshua de Mekel, who is more lenient than I am, so you have no basis which to assume that we should burn the Torah Chametz with the totally Tame one. Ki Mekel betliya betmeya. In regards to, meaning, so again, he's pointing out that even if we don't go further in a machlokas I have with someone else, even that far is, even Rabbi Shimon is going to say only betliya betmeya, only with something that is, you're not sure about, is doubtful, that truma you can burn together with tmeya, that is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon and Bedas, Rabbi Yeshua, aval, betahora tmeya lo, but no one would say that Torah betmeya would be allowed to be burnt. So that works with our Mishnah that Rabbi Yeshua really doesn't even hold. You're allowed to burn Tluya with Tmeya according to Rabbi Yossi, rather, doesn't hold that you're even allowed to burn those two together. You would be allowed to burn only Tahora together and Tmeya together, and Tluya would be different. Now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Rami Truma Pesach. So now Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, he has a question of Rabbi Yeshua with regards to Truma, with regards to Pesach. So now, what is this kasha? Mishani, he has a question. Mi amar b'shua shtein ka'achas. Did Rabbi Yeshua say that really the truma teluya, the doubtful truma of chametz, is allowed to be burned with the tamei truma? Is that really true? Or aminu, we have a mishnah that says chavish al truma shenol basavik tuma. If you have a barrel of truma, which there was a shaila with it about whether the tuma it was tamei with this truma, Rabbi Elazar mar imaisav nachas makom atorfa. If it was lying exposed, then yanichem v'namutza, you should dafka cover it. Meaning, you should not allow it to become tamei, even though you're not allowed to eat it. Truma teluya. You're not allowed to eat it. You have to wait till the rats and get rid of it. But you're not allowed to even in a grumma way, to cause it to become tamei. If it was uncovered, you should cover it. Rabbi Yeshua says, no. If it was in a concealed area, you're allowed to open it and expose it. However, if it's covered, you're allowed to uncover it. So this we're seeing from over here, that only grumma, in only doing it in an indirect way, only in an indirect manner are you allowed to doing it. However, bi'adayim lo, no one's going to agree, even Rabbi Yeshua is going to agree, that getting rid of truma teluya bi'adayim actively, more like we're telling over here, to literally take it and throw it in the fire together with the tmeya, that they touch each other, you're actively getting rid of the chametz of the teluya with the tmeya, and actively going to be being ruining it, and that would not be okay. Yeshua would not allow you to do that. So we have a kasha and a stira over here. So the Gemara answers a mishani. So what do we answer? Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina is going to answer this by saying, "Har Rabbi Shimon v'alibad Rabbi Yeshua," that the teaching of the Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon according to Rabbi Yeshua. "Har Yosef v'alibad Rabbi Yeshua," whereas the teaching of the Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Yosef according to Rabbi Yehoshua. That Rabbi Shimon holds that according to Rabbi Yehoshua, you are allowed to be metame truma teluya biadayim, whereas Rabbi Yosef holds that you are not allowed to be metame biadayim. So now that is a different answer that we're giving, or very similar maskana. It's on a different tier. Now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Elazar, Rame Truma Truma. Rabbi Elazar has a question of two different psakim. Rabbi Yeshua within Truma itself. Is it really true that Rabbi Yeshua says that only with regards to indirect, you can cause it indirectly, the Truma that's, that you're doubtful about, whether it's Tameh, you can cause that to become Tameh indirectly only, and not directly, actively, like throwing them together. Aminu, Chavish al Truma, if Shinishba Begagal Yona, if you have Truma, which broke in the upper vat of the wine press, this is that case that we mentioned also. And we discussed this. And beneath it, the chulin wine is tameh. Moter Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Shemiyachal Atzamen Avirus by Matara. That Rabbi Eliezer agree that if you're able to save at least a Ravias, the minimum shear of a Ravias, whatever it is, the shear I'm doing nowadays, 3 ounces, 4 ounces, 5 ounces, whatever it is, to save that minimum amount, because that's the minimum shear of a Shtia, that's the minimum amount that we called for all culture cool. Usually, the summer Ravias is the main shear. For Brachas Achorna might be something different, okay? But Lamaisa, we almost always assume Ravias the minimum shear. Here also, minimum shear, if you're able to save a Ravias, then everyone would agree, then Yatzil, you should save the Truma, because that's called a real significant shear. But what if you love? Let's say you're not able to save a Ravias of Truma by getting another Klee that's Tahar and running about and getting it. If you have no way of being, of helping it. So anyway, you know that all this Truma is about to ruin your Chulin. So what's going to be the case? Rabbi Elazar Omer, Tered Vetetami. Rabbi Elazar says that you can not do anything. You have to let it, Memela, be Metame all of your Chulin and ruin all your Chulin. You're not allowed to eat that Chulin either. This wine in the chulin vat. The ayit mena b'yad, you're not allowed to be metame directly. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you are ayit mena b'yad. You're allowed to directly metame and prevent it from using your body to prevent it from going into the lower vat. So if that's the case, the Mishnah Rabbi Yeshua is permitting it even b'yadayim. That's the kasha. We only allowed you to do it by truma teluya was only indirectly. Now with truma that's vaday tahor, even directly is allowing you to do it metame. So the Gemara says, mishani has to know. There's a fundamental difference. There is ikah hefsid chulin. There you know that. At the end of the day, the truma is going to become tamei anyway. The truma is going to become tamei when it hits the chulin, and you're going to ruin all the chulin because all the tamei, because all the truma that's going in there is going to ruin it. So, if that's the case, If that's the case over there, so that you're going to be ruining the chulin as well, so then you have a hefsed, you're going to allow it to be makel. Whereas a hefsed, you're allowed to be makel, whereas the case of the truma taluya, you don't have any reason to be makel, there's no hefsed by you being more careful not to indirectly cause it to become tame. So the Gemara says, Maskif la Rava, Rava has a question on that. We say also, Mefnis, and also Ika hefsed etzim, but wait a second, our Mishnah, there is a hefsed mammon. We asked this question earlier as well, that we have a question, that we said there's a loss of the extra wood, having to buy another pile of another fire, is a considered a hefsed over here. So Amar Le Abaye responds, Lahafsid Meruba Chashu, Lahafsid Muat Lo Chashashu. That only for a substantial, significant loss, that is when we're going to be allowed to makel. For a little hefsed, for a small amount of loss, that just firewood, how much does firewood cost? That is not going to be pointed out. That many halachas, hefsed Meruba, we see big kulas, we see from here that to have a lot of people spend a little bit of money is not called hefsed Meruba, because here you're going to have 100,000 kohanim who have to burn a new pile of wood. So each one of them is going to cost a dollar, let's say, but still $100,000. That's hefsed meruba if you count all of them together. We see that each individual is not called hefsed meruba. That was the shayla, but like a basar v'chalav shayla is when you have a hefsed, when you have a lot of people who are going to lose a minimal amount of their food together, let's say a communal pot or something, but together it's worth a lot of money. So it's still the chora. We still see from here that lamaisa, that's not called hefsed meruba, a reason to be makel whenever you have substantial reasons to be makel because of hefsed meruba. A fascinating deal based on our gemara. Now the gemara continues. Abaye wants to prove his answer. Manat Timur Abaye says, where can I get my halacha that hefsed meruba chashu? How do I know that that's the case? I'll bring you another case where we're not makel because it's only a hefsed muat. If you have now the same exact case where you have truma oil that broke, and in the bottom was chulin that was tame. So if the truva comes into it, it's going to ruin the whole thing, and everything's going to be asur to eat, and you're going to ruin the oil. So in this case over here, that the truma should, if you're able to save the minimum share, you should. If not, then everyone says that you should let it become tame and let it flow down and save the v'ayit ben b'yad and not do it actively. So you see over here, the oil of the truma is coming into the tame chulin. No one's going to allow you to be metame the oil over here. Why not? The Mishnah, we said that Rabbi Yoshua would allow you to do it. What's the reason? What's the difference between the two over here? So the reason is, Rabbi Abaye is bringing a proof over here, that when it comes to the mixture of tame truma wine, which is going to be completely useless, so therefore we're not going to allow you to do any, we're going to have a big cool up. When it comes to shemen, what am I allowed to do with shemen that's tame? I'm allowed to burn it. So since I'm allowed to burn it, I have use from it, that's not going to have some ruba, and therefore, since not major hefsed, we're not going to be, Rabbi Yeshua is not going to be makel. Here we see Rabbi Yeshua himself is not makel. So Gemara says, Maishna Shemen Deroy Lahadlik. But wait a second, what's the difference by oil? We're saying because there is something it could be used for, it's not considered a major, major loss. Again, you could burn the oil. You're allowed to burn Shemen that's Tame. So Yain Nami Roy Lazilus. But when it comes to wine also, you're allowed to use Yain that's Tame for sprinkling. Apparently they used to have like this, it used to be like some sort of, what we would have is like a perfume smell somehow. When they sprinkle it around, that would be their version of doing perfume. So the Gemara says, V'chitei mazilaf lav milsei, but you can say sprinkling means nothing, and it's not something that's considered even removing some sort of loss. It's still a major loss. What, are you going to sprinkle it out and have a nice smell? Who cares about that? No, that's not true. Very much Shmuel Mishra Mechiyah. Shosim lug sela. You should spend a sela on, drink wine of a lug that you should buy for a sela. So let's say $100, buy a bottle of wine. Umizalfin milug v'shtayim. You should spend even $200 to get wine that you'll be able to sprinkle with and have a good smell. So what do you see? That it's even more chashuv to have a wine that's able to smell good and do this ziluf and sprinkle it to have this pleasant smell, to have this, thing over here, to like the perfume type of thing. To use that is even worth spending more money. So we see it's a chashuv azach to have the sprinkling of the wine. So the Gemara answers, right, we must be dealing with the case of Bechadash, which new wine. So the Gemara says, so then fine, it's new wine, so then don't, you should still be able to ruin it by Roy Liyashna. Let it become Tame, and let it sit for a year, and then it'll come to smell good, and you'll let it sprinkle it, even though it's Truma Tameya. The Gemara says, you're going to let it sit for a year, a long time, however long it takes to age it. Someone actually is going to drink it. That's not, you can't do that. So the Gemara says, Shem and Nami. So same thing when it comes to oil. Asibela Takala. You can also assume the same thing. You're going to leave it around. People are going to accidentally use it to anoint themselves, to put it in their food, whatever it's going to be, what they're going to do with oil, whatever people do with oil. They're going to use it for other purposes that are not mutter, like burning. Only they're not only going to use it for burning. So the Gemara answers, Deramile Beklimos. We're talking about putting it in a very, very bad smelling, a foul smelling kli, a kli that it's, so that you're going to put in a kli, a pot or something to hold it, or a kli to hold it that's very smelly. So at that point, you know everyone that's there's a hecker to not use it for your food. So the Gemara says, "Yainami Rami Leva Klimos." So then, do the same thing with oil. Put it in a really foul smelling bowl, and it'll be fine. So the Gemara says, what was that? That doesn't work at all. What was the whole purpose? I'm using this to have my perfume. So lezilov kabayalai bechli mazra mila, you're putting in a terrible smelling thing. You've ruined the whole purpose. The whole purpose is to have a perfume, and the perfume's not going to smell good over here. So we see from here that lemaisa, this is not acceptable. And therefore, we have the answer that when it comes to truma, it's not a major hefset. So Rabbi Shua's make, Rabbi Shua's going to be machmir to make it become tame. And when it comes to wine, which is a major hefset, Rabbi Shua's going to be mekel. Now the Gemara says, v'takala atzma tanai. Now the Gemara is mentioning when it comes to the fact that people are going to come to make mistake, that's v'chal my chokas tanaim. The sign of the, that we have a brisa that says, chavish liyan shel truma shenitmes. If you have a barrel of truma that became tame, Bishamay says, tishafech chaval. It should be spilled out in. It should spill out at once, meaning we don't allow it to be spilled out sprinkling, even though the same day, because someone might drink it accidentally. So that's Bishamay. Bisila says, Bisila lomrim teshavek zil, if you're allowed to use it for sprinkling. Amr Yishmal Rabbi Yossi, Aniach Ria, I am going to pass Rabbi Yossi, says. So he says, Bisada teshavek chavel, when it comes to, if it's in the field, you should spill it out. But in the house, to sprinkle, because in the field would become tame. We're afraid by the time you take it from the field to your house, something could happen to it. People could actually drink it, whatever might happen. In the house, we're going to immediately use it for sprinkling. I'm not afraid it's going to be used for another purpose, and it's going to be mutter. So the Gemara says, Ikud Amr, some explained, Rabbi Yishmal Rabbi Yossi said the following. In new wine, it should be spilled out. Whereas in aged wine, it should be used for sprinkling. Amrullah, they responded back to him, in you're not paskin over here. Rashi points out, the whole sugya over here with the Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel didn't mention to explain what they said about takala. They're not talking about Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. We're talking, you could assume that both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, whether it's Sadeh or whether it's a house, Beit Shammai would say to spill it all out, and Beit Hillel would say that whether it's the Sadeh or in the field, both cases they would be saying that it's mutter, and you're and then you would be coming to qualify that halacha. That's not what you're doing over here. Now they don't mention bias and Sadeh. You don't know at all what they're arguing about. Bishmal, we assume that you're not necessarily passing like that. Okay, Amir Tashem will pick up with Amar Biyosi, Bez Hashem tomorrow.